What can I do? What can I do? Oh my. To change your situation. What can I what do? What can I do? Speak to nation. Speak to the whole nation. I believe I. Oh, I believe that I. I can change the world. Change the world. What can I do? What can I do? Make your life better. To make your life much better. Yeah, what can I do? Bring us all together. Bring us all together. I believe I. Oh, I believe I'm capable. I can change it's the world. Possible.
Hello and welcome. I'm Karen and you're listening to Real Faith Talk. This is episode 4. Yeah, we're on the fourth one. And on this episode, I want to speak on the phrase turning the tide. Now, if you've never used this phrase before or ever heard it, don't worry. I got you covered. And I also have a story that further explains what it means. And also, what our role is when it comes to turning the tide. And last but not least, I have Karen's commentary. It's a new segment I introduced in our last episode, episode 3, and it's back. And in Karen's commentary, I'm going to be speaking on the presidential race results. Now, if you've listened to any of the previous episodes, you know I could not do a new episode and not give my thoughts on the winner and the loser. Okay, let's go. Turning the tide. Now you may ask, what does that mean? I've never heard that before. Well, it means to change the course of a bad situation or to change things for the better. This phrase reflects the change that occurs when a rising ocean tide starts to recede or go out. Thinking about the meaning of this phrase made me think of the story of Daniel in the Bible. Daniel chapter 6, to be exact. In the story, there was a law created by some administrators and high officers. They wanted to find fault in Daniel, but couldn't find anything. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. They figured the only way they could accuse Daniel of anything would be connected to his religious standards. Daniel had a consistent routine of praying 3 times a day. The administrators and high officers went to King Darius and asked that he enforce this law. For the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone divine or human, except you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions. King Darius signs the law. When Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and prayed. The officials went to Daniel's house and found him praying and asking for God's help. The officials run to King Darius and tell him what they saw Daniel doing. The king gives orders that Daniel must be thrown into the lion's den. The king says to him, "May your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you." The den was sealed shut with Daniel inside. Very early the next morning, King Darius hurries to the den and yells to Daniel, "Servant of the living God, was your God, whom you serve so faithfully, able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "Long live the king. My God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths so they would not hurt me, for I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and ordered that Daniel be removed from the den. Not a scratch was found on him, for he had trusted in God. And there you have it. God turned the tide. What should have consumed or devoured Daniel physically didn't touch him. Daniel looked to the one who has the power to reverse or change the course of a bad situation. This story shows me that prayer holds power. Prayer changes things. I'll say that again. Prayer changes things. You can't pray and worry. This story in Daniel chapter 6 also shows that people may try to come after what makes you different from the rest. Some people are incapable of dealing with others that don't mirror them. You stand out. You think different from the others. You're not like them. You don't walk like them. You don't talk like them. You don't carry yourself in any form or fashion how the others do. You can do all the right things, but somehow someone or a group of people may find fault in you. But fret not, because the Bible does say in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, so let's not get tired of doing what's good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Simply meaning, don't get tired of doing the right thing. Don't get tired of doing what's right, because there's a blessing that comes from doing just that, doing the right thing. So keep going and keep being different. Now, after hearing the story of Daniel in the lion's den, someone may possibly have the thought of, well, maybe the lions weren't aggressive. Maybe they just, you know, didn't want to bother Daniel throughout the night. Well, let me eliminate the whole they're not aggressive theory real quick and continue the story. The Bible puts it this way. After King Darius removed Daniel from the lion's den, he had the same men that threw Daniel in, he had them thrown in, along with their wives and children. And the Bible says this, the lions leaped on them and tore them apart before they even hit the floor of the den. So yeah, they were certainly aggressive. They just couldn't touch Daniel. Okay, it is that time once again for Karen's commentary. So let's get right to it as I speak on the presidential race results. Okay, so after hours of standing in line, or maybe you weren't in line, maybe you mailed in your ballot. But either way, we were all waiting for the results. And then on Saturday, November 7th, Joe Biden was named as the winner and the 46th president of the United States. He chose a vice president that completely changed the game. Kamala Harris is the first female vice president in history. Not only that, she is the first African-American vice president in history. The electoral vote's final count was Biden with 302 and Trump with 232. 270 was the number needed to win. The state of Georgia surprised most of us by flipping and becoming a blue state. And of course, with no surprise to me, Trump claimed that the election was rigged, fraudulent votes were counted, and demanded that states conduct a recount. He also demanded, while states were still counting the votes, due to a high volume of, you know, mail-in ballots, that the states stop counting the votes. Just put a total halt and just ending of counting votes. Yeah, he tried it. Really, he really, really tried it. So yeah, his sore loser attitude came at no surprise to me. Not at all. I was not surprised. Him and his team of lawyers have filed several lawsuits claiming abuse of absentee ballots. Mind you, this is the same dummy that told his supporters during the summer months to vote twice, which is a felony. I cannot forget to mention one of Trump's plots and schemes that he used in this presidential race. No, I'm not speaking of, you know, him pretending he had COVID. No, that's not it. Because, you know, that was fake and phony. Yeah. No, I'm speaking of Kanye West, his little pawn that he used in this race. Kanye West ended up with 60,000 votes. Yeah, 60,000 votes. What a mess. And what a waste of time. Anyway, so now that Biden is, you know, going to be the new president, Kamala the vice president, the question now leads to, will Trump have to be physically removed from the building of the White House? Will he physically have to be taken out of there? It's not looking too good, and he doesn't plan on leaving quietly and doing the right thing, it seems as though. So, with that being said, we'll just have to tune in and see. I mean, you might want to get some popcorn to just have on standby just in case, because whatever goes down, the cameras will catch it, and it will be on all news stations. So, yeah, we'll just have to stay tuned and see how it all goes down. Okay, this is the end of episode 4. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening once again. As always, stay safe, stay well, and keep faith at the center. You gotta listen, clearly.